On the 22nd of May, British voters go to the polls to elect representatives to the European Parliament, and also in London and many parts of England, their local councillors. Besides running the schools and emptying the bins, one of the main responsibilities of local councils is the road network. And so it's to local councils that we look to make the improvements that are so desperately needed if cycling is ever to become a viable option as everyday transport in Britain. And nowhere is the campaigning as vigorous as it is in London, where every seat in each of London's 32 borough councils is up for grabs. This week on The Bike Show, I'm talking with Ashok Sinha, Chief Executive of the London Cycling Campaign, the charity which works for better cycling in the capital. The message that the LCC is taking to candidates in the elections is simple: space for cycling. But what does that mean? Well, they've broken it down into six themes, which are as follows. Dedicated, protected space for cycling on busy main roads. 20-mile-an-hour speed limits where people live. Reducing through motor traffic and rat running. Ensuring kids can cycle on safe routes to and from school. Improving town centres so they're cycle-friendly. And finally, making the most of green spaces, parks and open land as cycle routes. Our conversation was very unfortunately due to technical slips that are almost certainly my own fault on a less than good, rather scratchy line from London. So stick with it if you can, because I think what Ashok has to say is of very real interest to anyone who's trying to influence governments on behalf of cyclists, not just Londoners and not even just people in Britain. I began by asking Ashok if this really was the most ambitious election campaign ever mounted by a cycling group.
It certainly feels that way, Jack. Let me try and describe what we're trying to do using a few numbers, and bear with me. What we have in London is elections in each of the 32 boroughs, apart from the City of London, which is a special case. And that is a total of 624 individual electoral wards. And our magnificent volunteer base have taken the policy platform that we have developed and applied it in each one of those wards to identify a single high-priority, site-specific action to promote cycling in that ward that would help make cycling safer and more inviting for people of all ages and abilities. So that's 624 individual demands, if you like, spread out across London. Now, there are 7,000 candidates in London standing for election spread out across those 32 boroughs, 624 wards. And we have created an online map whereby members of the public can come along, find out what is happening in each borough, find out what is happening in each ward, see the individual ward level ask, and through the action tool we have created, email all of the candidates in their ward to ask them to support that that demand, and track as time goes by which of the candidates are agreeing to that demand. So that's over 7,000 bespoke candidate emails that members of the public can send across 624 wards. Now, that feels to me like something nobody has ever attempted before. It's a pretty gargantuan task. So on that basis, yes, it may well be the biggest and most ambitious, certainly the most complex electoral campaign that a cycling organisation in the UK has tried.
So let's talk about the London Cycling Campaign organisation itself. I mean, you're quite a small staff, aren't you? How many people are there working at the LCC?
At the moment, there are 22 people. It depends how you set it up, because, you know, we've got some part-time staff as well. But the thing to remember is that we're actually quite a large organisation cycling-wise in terms of our supporter base. We have 12,500 fully paid-up members in London, and on top of that, another 30,000-odd supporters who take part in our actions. And we also have representation, that is to say, local activist groups in each of London's boroughs. So it is, compared to some of the big NGOs of the world, a small staff, but we like to think we're a pretty strong and vibrant and fairly large cycling campaign organisation by the time you take into account all of the members and supporters and activists.
I mean, certainly compared to cycle campaign groups in any other town or city, maybe with the exception of Cambridge. Yes, I think that's right. But what I think is really interesting about the London Cycling Campaign, and I was interested to hear your membership figure in terms of fully paid up members, because that hasn't actually changed an awful lot over the last few years. But what has changed is this 30,000 supporter base. Yeah. And that's quite interesting.
It is very interesting. Now, that big uplift in the supporter base came from the last big campaign that we tried, which at that point in time was the biggest, the most ambitious that had been attempted by a cycling organisation in the UK, which was Love London Go Dutch. And that was, in a sense, more straightforward, because it was an appeal to all the candidates in the mayoral election in 2012 to support a very simple proposition to make London as safe and inviting for cycling as it is in Holland, plus a few key tests of their commitment. And people really flocked to that. They really did see that as being what we intended it to be, which was visionary and agenda setting. And that resulted in a lot of people signing up as supporters to the campaign. I think this difference between paid up members and supporters is a very interesting distinction, and it reflects possibly what is happening in terms of campaigning more generally within the UK, at least, which is that perhaps a lot of people aren't necessarily seeing themselves as being, if you like, cycling advocates as part of their core beliefs in the way that some people are environmental activists or human rights activists. They have a range of issues that they are concerned about. And at the right time, we can appeal to them and say, look, can we have your attention at this moment? You're cycling, maybe you want to cycle, but are too fearful to do so. Do you think that those who run London can and should do something very specific? And, you know, we lay it out in front of them to make cycling better in London. And they say yes. Now, does that mean that they want to become a fully paid up member because cycling activism is right there in their heart? Not necessarily. And I think we are beginning to learn about those distinctions. And I think we as an organisation are doing something to try and address the fact that our membership doesn't grow in step with cycling more generally in London. And I think we've got to look at, you know, speaking frankly and honestly, we've got to look at the way we organise our offer and the way we organise our relationship with the public. Things are changing very rapidly in the whole field of campaigning, and we've got to stay in tune with that.
Your background wasn't in cycling policy when you came to the LCC. You had run some very effective campaigns in completely different areas. I suppose it's more important in a way to be a really great campaigner than to be the world's expert in the height that curbs should be at or you know, the perfect design of a bike rack.
Well, I am delighted to say that we have some fantastic experts within the London Cycling Campaign, both in the staff team and in our board of trustees and across our membership base. And but having expertise is a means to an end as far as we're concerned. Our job is to try and be the most effective advocates for cycling and this is very important, the outcomes that the promotion of cycling can bring. Because if we talk to members of the public, their interest is not necessarily in cycling per se. Their interest is in enjoying life. It is in reducing air pollution. It is in keeping their children active. It's in creating a street environment in which people can play and enjoy themselves rather than it being dominated by motor vehicles. They're interested in the outcomes from whatever particular perspective or interest group they come from. So the height of curbs and the sort of radii of curbs and all the rest of it isn't the way to speak to people when talking about cycling, and perhaps we've made that mistake in the past. We have found that the way to speak to people is in terms of their values and their ideals and what they want to see for themselves and what they want to see for their children and for their city. And making that transformation in the way that we talk about cycling, what it can do for you, what it can do for London, I think that has been the most important step forward that we have taken. And within that, policy is vital and it's important, but it's not often by itself enough to get the message across to people.
Now, you're going to be incredibly modest, I'm sure, and say that it's all a huge team effort, which, of course, it is in many ways. But it does strike me as a bit of a coincidence that from an outside perspective, and I was a member of the LCC, stopped being a member of the LCC, and then came back as a member of the LCC. But the LCC has really got its act together on the policy side, and especially on the campaign side, since you came to be chief exec.
Well, it is a team effort, and it absolutely is a collective enterprise here. But I think what I can say is when I joined as chief exec, and maybe this is because of my background, I did feel that what we needed to be is much more appealing to a broader range of the public than we had been before. And as I said a moment ago, engage people in what they want to see for themselves and for their city and for the role that London can play as, you know, a sustainable city in the world. And that involves being popular and populist and having mass appeal. But you can only do that if you have a coherent and strong policy base underlying it. So the two go hand in hand. And so what I try to do is say, look, we have a major opportunity here in London. We've got the mayoral elections coming up. Cycling is a topic that people are talking about. There is a space for us to, if we get our act together, to really capture the public's imagination here in a way that, you know, we haven't done before. So we've got to get our act together on policy, and we've got to get to our act together on public communications. And I'm glad to say that people bought that agenda. They liked it. And collectively, we worked very hard to do both of those things, to get our policy lined up and to then communicate it in a compelling way, I hope a compelling way, to the public. Now, you know, that might have started with some ideas at my end, but we had to all believe that this was necessary and achievable and be creative and intelligent in finding solutions. So in that sense, it absolutely was a team effort.
Sometimes, as a cyclist, you feel as if the world's against you when you're riding a bike in Britain and in London. But I remember speaking to Andrew Boff, who sits on the London Assembly and was for a time Boris Johnson's kind of cycling czar, cycling supremo, before Andrew Gilligan came in and took on that role. And he said to me that he thought that as an elected politician, cyclists punched above their weight, and that they were able to create much more noise about their issues than other groups were. How is it possible to reconcile those two observations?
In London, and I think it's different at the national level, where so many issues are clearly dominant, whether it's Europe and Britain's relationship with Europe, whether it's fracking, whether it's immigration or whatever. At a London level, I think it's fair to say that there aren't that many yet really strong London-specific campaign groups. That's the first thing. And the second thing is we may punch above our weight, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're delivering, to continue with the analogy, we're delivering the knockout blows that we need to deliver in order to create policy and political change. So it's one thing to be doing very, very well, but it's another thing to be doing what is necessary in order to leverage political commitment. And I think everything that I've said so far is not at all to dismiss the quality of work and effort that had gone before us. But we needed a strategic change in our approach so that not only did we, as a group of cyclists, punch above our weight, but we also brought a broader range of the public along with us. And it's that mass support which is really what is needed, especially at election time, to make politicians sit up and notice. It's one thing for Andrew, who has been a sterling supporter of cycling, to feel we punch above our weight. It's another thing to make contenders for the Mayor of London, such as Boris Johnson and Ken Livingstone, feel that they need to write to us and say, yep, I'm signed up to your agenda. That's a whole different ballgame.
And so when all of the mayoral candidates did agree that they would sign up to the Love London Go Dutch platform, that, you know, that must have been a great moment for you and for the LCC. A couple of years later, we obviously have Boris Johnson in office. Do you feel that he's made good on the promises that he made in that election campaign?
He hasn't yet, not in totality. He has done one thing which is very, very important and should not be dismissed, even if the delivery yet is so far is slow. He produced last year what he called the Vision for Cycling London, and it was shot through with references to, you know, Dutch-style infrastructure and learning from the Dutch and continental experience. And importantly, it also set aside within the TfL budget £386 million for cycling to be spent during the remainder of his term in office, which was much higher than we had seen spent on cycling hitherto. And within that, there were important programmes such as £100 million set aside for what he called mini Hollands. Now, if you're cycling around London, you won't see much of this on the ground yet. You won't see much by way of continental-style infrastructure and main roads. And although the mini Hollands have been agreed, they are going to be set up in Enfield, Newham and Kingston, work has yet to start. He has also increased through this Vision for Cycling London the money available for improving junctions, which are the most dangerous places to cycle in London, and to focus down on the worst ones. That has been a major change, which we've been calling for some time. But nothing has happened yet on the ground. So the cycling experience has really not changed in London, apart from a sort of continental-style lane on Cycle Superhighway 2 going up to Stratford, even though that has one or two problems as well. So implementation is always key, and we are still waiting.
Were you expecting to be waiting so long?
We knew it would take time. And my view was always to say, to whoever asked me the question, let's judge this as we run into the next mayor election. Let's judge this as Mayor Boris Johnson stands up to speak about his record, whether he is looking to leave office, as he says he is, or whether he decides ultimately he's going to stand again. Because I don't think we can, this is a mammoth task, and I think what we can lay down staging points, but at the same time, we have to recognise that a lot of conversations have to go on between the mayor's office and the boroughs who have to play their part, and ourselves, to get it right. Nonetheless, I think for me, I'm going to be, if you like, sitting here as we run into the 2016 mayoral elections, and then I will be assessing the landscape. But I do appreciate people's impatience, and there are certain things that need to get done early on. There's some early wins that can be achieved, such as the Central London Bike Grid, which is also in his vision for Cycling London, which we originally proposed many years ago, long before my time at LCC. And there's some early wins that can be achieved there at relatively low cost. But as for the whole of that implementation of the Love London Go Dutch programme, I think it's only fair to give him a couple of years to really turn the supertanker around.
Well, let's talk about the 2014 campaign again. It's headlined Space for Cycling. Was that a natural evolution of Love London Go Dutch? Is that something that was planned, or is that something that's just sort of evolved as you've, you know, assessed how the campaign's been going? Did you feel that Love London Go Dutch was not quite right and Space for Cycling actually is calling it what it is?
I'd love to say this was some grand design, but there's a little history here. We found that during the course of the summer and the autumn last year, when there were very sadly a number of very high-profile cyclist deaths at locations where we have said for some time the conditions for cycling are very, very dangerous and have said that they need to be improved, such as at Holborn and Aldgate, for those who know London. And we got out there and ran some very, very big protest rides. What we were calling for in those protest rides, and this came straight out of Love London Go Dutch, was for dedicated or protected space for cycling. And I have to be honest, we found that this resonated so well with people, the whole idea of space for cycling. It was so kind of, as a catchphrase, it made people say, yeah, I want the sticker, I want the badge. And we thought, well, hang on, we're onto something here. We're going to run a local elections campaign anyway. The idea of giving people space, people wanting space, people feeling they have the right to space for cycling, is something that we can take down to the borough level. Boroughs, people are not so concerned about, you know, Love London Go Dutch. They're more concerned about Love Lewisham Go Dutch or Love Romney Go Dutch or whatever. It was something that we could use as an umbrella, space of cycling, and then speak specifically about their areas and their wards. But, you know, it's one of those things. It just took off. So we thought that has to be the way in which we sort of brand the campaign. And the other thing is that it also took off outside of London. People were sending us messages from literally across the world saying, could we have one of those space for cycling bike plates, please, or even a car sticker or a T-shirt. And when you've got something like that happening, you have to sit back and say, hang on, you know, this is something we can turn to our advantage.
And so how is it going with the 7,000 candidates? Have you got some sort of great big thermometer on the wall there in LCC HQ? How is it going?
We have, and in fact, it's on the website that I referred to earlier, the online tool. At the moment, we've got over 2,000 signed up. So that's just under a third of all the candidates. And most of that was achieved when we only actually had half the candidates on our database. It's all getting a bit technical now. But the rest of the candidates came in rather late. They came in last week, which was the deadline for declarations. We've been running these campaigns, you know, for a few weeks now. So we're going to crank it up and try and get a large portion of those latecomers. And we're pretty pleased. Two and a half weeks to go. A third of the candidates, that's not bad.
And so if people live in London and want to help, they can go to the website, find out who their candidates are, find out what the local ask is, and presumably the website will help them make contact.
Absolutely. It's really simple. It's a couple of clicks to locate where you are, another click to send the message, and then you will be in contact with your candidate. And lots of members have had replies from candidates saying, thank you, we're on board, we want to do this. So this really helps with the post-election process of going back to people. And it doesn't have to be just done by LCC, it can be done by members of the public who've sent messages and got replies, going back to candidates saying, those who are elected, congratulations, you've been elected, you made the promise, so let's see it delivered. We can do that, but because we've also helped members of the public get in touch with the candidates, members of the public can do that directly.
I mean, there has been some criticism in the last few years about the rise of web activism or clicktivism, as it's sometimes called. How would you say that people should go about overcoming the way in which politicians look at an email or look at a mass campaign that's just done very easily through a web form and go, well, okay, I can put that at a bit of a discount. Should they be getting in touch sort of in person, asking for a meeting, or is it more just about making sure that the email is really from the heart rather than a kind of cut and paste job?
Well, this is a tricky area, because the technology that's available to us now enables lots and lots of people to take action, whereas in the past they probably wouldn't have sat down and taken the time to write a letter. There is also, quite rightly, an allegation of a certain level of superficiality to just pinging off an email. But I think where we have a slight advantage in this campaign is because it is through the fact that we have local groups in every borough in London. People who are working day in, day out, they're volunteers, don't know how they find the time, they're just amazing. To lobby their local councils for improvements. Now, what we want to do is to make sure that people who take action through space recycling are in contact, are brought into contact with our local groups, so that we can grow the scale and broaden out the local activism that goes on as the bread and butter business of trying to promote cycling with councils in London. In between each big, you know, email campaign that might come along every couple of years or whatever. So we really do hope that people will either, you know, stay in contact with their candidate, the newly elected councillors themselves, or, and we'll help them to do this, join up in some way with their local groups. They don't have to come to meetings all the time. They can just stay in contact with the local group and help support the local group's ongoing efforts of lobbying and cajoling and persuading and enticing their councillors to support cycling. So it is deeper than simple clicktivism.
We haven't had a chance to talk about the campaign going national as it has. That's a pretty encouraging development.
It's a hugely encouraging development. It was one of the things we hoped for, but didn't realise that it was going to be of the scale that it is. I'm delighted that our colleagues in CTC have taken up the space of cycling call and are running with it in a really big way, and we're supporting them in any way that we can. I'm absolutely delighted that in Leeds, Bristol, Newcastle, Manchester, Sheffield, Birmingham, just to name a few, there are space of cycling campaigns now up and running, focusing on political leaders in those cities. The phrase I often use is that space for cycling is a call to action that I think whose time is come. And I really do believe that. And I hope it's going to just go from success to success.
I was talking with Ashok Sinha, Chief Executive of the London Cycling Campaign. And if you want to put your voice behind the things that the LCC is asking for, there are two ways you can do that. First of all, you can come along on the big ride on the 17th of May. That's a Saturday, and it's in central London, starting at Park Lane and ending up on the embankment. Sort of mid-morning start, lunchtime finish. And it's a great event. It's as much about having fun as it is about politics. It's on closed roads, very child friendly. I shall be making the trip up from Wales to join in, and I hope to see you there. You can find out more about that on the LCC website. And you can also get in contact using the LCC's online tool with your local candidates and press them to make the improvements that are required in your area. And if you don't live in London, you can find out more about the National Space for Cycling campaign on its own website. I'll put links to all of this from The Bike Show website, www.thebikeshow.net. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, goodbye.